The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ferguson to the backfield as well. Back to throw. And wide open. We saw Janoris Wilson catch a pass in practice this week. Alignment. Eligible. Perfectly executed.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Snap. Hold. Swing of the leg by Lutz. The kick is blocked. The Chiefs block the kick. And Kansas City stays unbeaten. Oh. The magical run continues. The Chiefs are 9-0.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague.
Roy has it now against Marion. And All-NBA defender Brandon gets past him. Jumper in the lane. Banks it in! Time out, Dallas! My eyes don't deceive, so I have to believe!
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
What is happening?
Happy Monday to everybody out there. Rainy, wet, November the 11th.
Oh, we're back, baby. It's that time of year. Every day, it's going to be a little dark, a little gloomy, a little cloudy. When you get a break of sun this time of year, you just thank the lucky stars.
And I had that this weekend.
A little nice weather at the coast?
Great weather at the coast.
You guys avoided it? How did you avoid the bad weather?
Did you guys have rain over here?
I guess it wasn't that bad over here this weekend.
Did it rain? Yesterday wasn't bad.
Yesterday wasn't terrible.
Saturday ended up being great. They kept saying it was going to rain, and it never did.
Yeah, that's touche. I guess that's a good point.
We didn't have any.
Nothing at all.
Beautiful.
No wind, no rain.
Wind, too, at the coast is a nice little
fantastic.
Plus.
Little peak of the sunshine every now and then on Saturday and Sunday morning. That was great.
Poking through the clouds.
Oh,
here we go.
Did you have that ocean mist in the air?
We had a little bit of that in the morning, like that a.m. kind of overcast fog rolling in, which I kind of like. You see the Cannon Beach Rock, but you don't see half of it, you know?
Haystack Rock.
Haystack Rock, yeah.
Feels good to be at the coast when you get that weather in the morning.
Yeah, we said the
nice
same
little
thing.
Like morning walk on the beach.
Yeah, did you get bundled up, go for the walk on the beach, grab a coffee?
No, we didn't have to wear much. We got hot walking.
Oh, a hot walk.
It was a nice,
look at that.
It was a nice little weekend at the coast,
look at
man.
You guys over there,
didn't
huh?
wear much all weekend,
look at this,
you?
Look at that.
A lot of we watched a few movies that we've had on like the queue that like go. When you have little kids you can't watch things.
Yeah, don't have the time or don't want it on the TV in front of them.
Yeah, and we watched a lot of movies, and in one of the movies there's a female an actress in the movie, and her character refers to sex as, what does she call it? Serious jumping.
Mm.
So a lot of serious jumping.
A lot of serious jumping this weekend?
Yeah.
That's a good weekend.
A lot of serious jumping.
Happy for the Sprags, man. Happy for the Sprags.
It was nice.
Happy anniversary.
I did have a little bit of a bone to pick. I caught the back end of the show on the way out to the coast.
What'd you catch?
I caught you not actually using any of the content I provided to you on Thursday.
Oh, for your Spragging the Line picks?
Yep.
Yeah, we were running a little late in that segment.
Oh,
a little late. And you went 3-0. What do you want, huh? You really going to come in here, be all pouty, not read your descriptions?
I mean, I gave explanations for why I picked the games I picked.
You
I
did.
Gave those picks early.
I'm not going through all that.
Outside of a Calvin Ridley garbage tut, almost nailed the Charger game.
I got enough on my hands trying to find winners over here, let alone trying to read text during the segment at the same time, too. My producer couldn't talk. He was missing a tooth. YouTube wasn't working. We were having a great time on Friday.
Well,
we had a great show.
I had the tooth during the show, and that was the problem.
It needed to come out.
Yeah. So it came out right after the show.
You didn't sound happy on the air.
No, I was in a fair amount of
Yeah, I got pain. It right before the show starts. I'm in a lot of pain today.
Yeah.
I thought, okay.
It's awesome.
All right, great. Okay. That's cool. All right.
Sweet. Then YouTube didn't work.
And YouTube didn't work.
Like
all day.
The whole show?
It didn't work till about 7 o'clock, and then it worked for 20 minutes, and we said, hi, thanks for watching, everybody. And then the video just stopped.
And then Joey came back in.
And then I think it got it back up and running at like 8:40, so we had like a 24-minute show on YouTube, plus or minus 10 minutes maybe at the end.
That reminds me of the famous Mike Lynch drop. Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
Yeah, it was one of those.
It's one of my all-time
favorite. We're doing a
drops.
Friday preview show, you know, talking about the Ducks, the Beavs, all the Northwest schools. Nope. Okay, see you later. Yeah. Don't need to do that.
Well, you know what? I thank you for doing that. I don't like to miss Football Fridays. We don't miss Football Fridays or football shows in large. But it was an opportunity. Honestly, I kind of nailed it. The college football slate, there was some wackiness. There was a lot that went on. It was fun to watch those games at the coast.
Yeah, it was another one of those weekends where you're like, there's not much going on. Two good games, and that's it. And then one of the good games ended up being a blowout in Alabama-LSU. Georgia-Ole Miss was entertaining just for the outcome of it.
Brian Kelly.
Yeesh. You did have a nice little upset there in Atlanta, so that happened. But the local schools played tighter. Well, Oregon played a tighter game than you would have imagined, and Oregon State just, you know.
Actually, those games went about how I thought they would, because I liked Maryland with the 24.5, and if you would have told me they win by 3 TDs, and it's a little bit of a, we're playing Maryland, about what I expected. And Oregon State,
we'll get to them.
Today. I was in a bar with other Beaver fans watching that. Nobody in that bar was surprised.
I saw the score, and I was like, I don't want to go back and watch
that game was exactly what I thought it would be.
I went back
don't
and
hold
watched,
me to my big pee-pee picks. That was an alumni pick. Yeah. I kind of thought that game was going to go that way.
I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt for after the bye.
Playing at home, off of a bye.
No more benefit of the doubt.
Man. Well, I helped you. I was doing a preview of that game, and I had mentioned the starting quarterback for San Jose State was Emmett Brown, the transfer from Washington State. And then I'm watching the opening drive of the game, and he was not in the game. So, told you all I need to know about San Jose State. Did they bench him? Did he get hurt? Did I miss that over the last couple of weeks? I don't know.
Did he throw the four picks the week previous?
I don't know. He might have. Maybe they sat him down because he threw the four picks, but I just remembered him. The only other San Jose State game I had seen was the Washington State game, and he lit them up for like 49 points. This guy's pretty good. That was in my show preview on Friday, and then the game started, and he was not in the game.
It's like, I think if we're just being honest here, there's a little over prep for some of these conversations that people just don't really care about. It's like, did I need to know the Maryland kid's, the quarterback's name?
No.
But they throw it a lot, and like, they're okay. They're not the
rock,
worst.
Passing offense. They can get some chunk yards in the air.
Edwards.
That's about all Maryland
this
can
Edwards
do.
Kid.
Edwards
kid. He throws
Junior.
It. Yeah, Junior. Edwards Jr.
He's a gamer, man. He's gritty. He's tough out there.
I do think you and I saw this, and I don't know how accurate this is, because the internet, it's almost hard to decipher what's true and not true anymore.
Yeah, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year.
My fault. Fat fingers.
We'll get to Mike.
Is your hand even on the
I think I just
mouse?
Slid it over the mouse on accident. I'll hover over
it. Who was that?
Micah Parsons.
That was Micah Parsons.
Later. Yeah.
Boy.
And Jerry Jones, who defended the sun in the state. Guys, we know where the sun is, okay?
Yeah,
this isn't new information.
Circumcising mosquitoes.
We know where the sun is a year in advance.
We have to play the audio, but it's Quincy Carter days. We need to stop talking about the Cowboys.
Yes, we do.
And the Jets.
And the
talking about the Jets.
Hey, they're alive. The Jets are alive.
They won. They win this game.
Come on, man. They're hot. They're rolling. Here they come.
We need to start talking about the Cardinals because apparently they're going to be a factor in the NFC West.
We need to unite as men over something that's happening in this country. And no, I'm not talking politics.
Uh-oh.
No.
I don't know if this is accurate, but if it is, we are doomed. I need to know if I've been butt-cracked sports. Is Target indeed actually thinking about opening a bar and serving Targaritas?
Oh, I did not see that.
Is this a real story or is this a fake story?
I did not see that. Target bar? I'll look at Target bar and see what I can find.
The last thing we need is our wives going to Target to buy too many unnecessary things and then also buying a Targarita.
Yeah, this. I mean, I don't know.
Are they converting the icy machines?
I don't know. I can't figure out if this is a real story. It's pissing me off.
I'm just seeing a Men's Humor tweet. That's all I'm seeing
on
November
8th. But I also, could you think of a worse idea for us in our lives?
No. Target's a problem. It's a massive issue.
It's already a problem.
Target is an epidemic right now.
Yes.
For women of the age of 20 to 40 in this country. It's a serious issue that they probably should all seek counseling to try and overcome. Thankfully, my wife does not spend a lot of time in. She does a lot of Target delivery orders.
So does my wife.
Yes.
Or the pickup shopping.
Yeah, she doesn't go, you know, peeking around for knickknacks and another thing
thank
to put
God.
On. Thank goodness. No.
Thank God. If you're walking the aisles
she
of Target, you're not getting out of there.
She actually hates shopping.
Well, that's a good thing.
So, we need... You know, the pharmacy is right there, so there's a lot of times going up and getting prescriptions and stuff. And no, it's laundry detergent, toilet paper, deodorant, toothpaste. That's what we're going to Target for.
Okay, I think I found this. I finally scrolled enough through this. The LA Times has a story. Cocktails at a Chicago Target.
Just at in Chicago?
I think it's a test. It's
a pilot program.
It's a pilot program.
See how it goes in Chicago.
And so if these... Well, you could also say the men who get dragged to Target who don't want to go to Target.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only positive here is that if you are stuck at a Target and you don't want to go up and down every aisle, you can sit there and enjoy a margarita.
This is my...
Are you going to enjoy a Targarita?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would you not?
I mean...
Hold on. I don't like the idea. But let's not act like they're going to make margaritas disgustingly.
I mean, what else do we got going on there? Do I have a TV on? Am I just sitting there listening to the Target music? There's got to be something. It's got to be like a sports bar if you're doing this. You got to do it right.
Dude, I'm not kidding when I tell you this. And somebody's going to do this one day and they're going to make a decent chunk of change. I'm just too scared and lazy to actually try it. There is, in a mall like Clackamas Mall is hopping. It's the opposite
that
of
that one in Washington Square, I think, are the only two malls that still go.
That's still like, they're fire. I'm telling you, in these vacant little stores that, you know, they run out, it's like, oh, this jewelry store is out now. There's a lease. I'm telling you, there's a sports bar idea here that if they open it, they're going to make money.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be down there. You go around, do your shopping.
Yes.
I'll hang right here. You let me know when you're done. Come pick me up and we'll head home.
Yep.
I'm going to enjoy, especially if it's on a weekend this time of year.
Oh, my God.
Like, you got to go shopping on a Sunday. Like, all right, give me the red zone. Give me an Octo box. I'll sit down here. I'll watch the kid. I'll do whatever I need. You go around and you do your shopping.
Let me up it. Because I just thought of this idea. So you're in a Cheers style bar at the mall. Okay, you and all the other husbands and boyfriends and whoever, you're at the bar. You're watching college football or you're watching the NFL. And I'll give you one. They have a delivery service where they've hired somebody that walks around the mall to go grab the items you're looking to buy, and then they bring it to you at the bar.
Not a bad idea.
Now I'm giving you cocktails.
Not a bad idea.
And you don't have to shop.
I'm just sitting there and there's a robot that's dropping off a bag from whatever store that I
seemingly
needed.
Yes.
Yeah, here you go.
Yes.
Wheels in and drops it off. Here's your order, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the next store. Let's scroll on the pad. Let's go to the next store. What do we need here? Let's get a couple of candles.
Have you been on a college campus and seen these little robots that deliver?
Yeah. I have seen those. Yeah.
Oregon State had a bunch
OSU,
of these.
Yeah.
Why would you not have one of those in the mall?
It makes a lot of sense, to be honest with you. It really does. One of the strongest things I feel like I've done in my relationship now, we've been together for almost a decade, married for 4 years. I have found a way to wiggle out of basically all holiday shopping.
Mm.
Like, I kind of set that precedent early on of like, I don't want to do this. And I think she's respected my decision. And so I have not been dragged to a mall, to a Target.
So you just have to shop for her.
I just have to shop for her, yeah. I mean, she does the majority of the shopping for everybody else, you know, the in-laws. You know, she does a lot of that shopping. And so I just kind of, you know.
I do.
Are you literally
I'm kind of coasting right now.
When somebody in your family opens up a gift, you're like waiting to see what it is.
Oh, what did we get you? Wow, what a great gift.
Oh,
yes.
A scarf.
I thought about that. That was my idea. I was the one that bought that. Yeah, her folks came over on Friday, and they were already talking about how they were going to go Christmas shopping, and can we take Teddy and all that? And I'm like, by all means, yes. If you guys want to go shopping, preferably on a football weekend, that'd be great. It'd be ideal for me. You guys take all day. Go ahead. Have a cow.
Well, and let's also address the other elephant in the room of which you brought up. yes, shopping for her is definitely an exception to this. There is nothing worse for us than shopping for your wife.
Nothing worse.
Because they buy everything and anything they need and want.
Yes. Everything. Every time something pops up, boom, you buy it.
And so you buy her something, and she says thank you, and she never uses it.
Yes, that's exactly how
it goes. I bought my wife an album of an artist, like an actual vinyl record, because we have a record player. Yeah. And I thought, this is kind of a unique thing.
Yeah,
and
something personal.
Yeah, the cover art is cool, and she loves this singer and this album. She hasn't opened it.
No.
That was two Christmases ago.
She puts on the smart speaker and plays it off of Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, she has her Apple Music.
That's
exactly.
That's
good.
How you do it.
Yeah, there is nothing worse this time of year than buying your wife or girlfriend something, because I don't know what do I buy my wife? There's a package at my door three times every day of the week.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I buying my wife?
I get texts constantly. Hey, honey, there's a package at the front door when she's working. I'm like, all right, don't worry. I'll go get it. All right. What do we get this time?
Yep.
Oh, hey, there's something in the mailbox. Can you go get it? All right. I'll go get it. What's the package today?
Instagram's trying to give me these ideas with these gift algorithms. And it's like, put tea leaves in a little thing and then put boiling water and then it drains the real tea. And I'm like, that's cool, but my wife's not going to use this.
No, that'll be used twice in January.
And then it'll be in a cupboard.
In the back of a cupboard, and you're not going to touch it for the next 5 years.
Exactly.
And then you're going to clean out that cupboard and be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Remember when I got this thing for Christmas? I used it twice. All right, let's give it away or let's toss it. Does anybody want this? That's the way it usually goes.
Yeah, there should be something that like prohibits your significant other from buying.
And from November on, at least, like cut off is Halloween. Yeah. From Halloween till the end of the year, you cannot order anything online, because then that at least gives me a puncher's chance. I think it's all the sighs and the eye rolls that I did when I did go shopping. That just like the subtle grunts behind, like, really? Going down this aisle again. A lot of that kind of stuff.
You were that guy.
I was that guy. Mm. I kind of laid that groundwork, and I think she realized that this isn't enjoyable for either of us. You don't want to be here. I don't want you to be here because you're just pissing me off. And so, all right. So maybe I could go drink a Targarita in the corner as long as there's a game on or something that I could watch.
Yeah, maybe the Targarita is a brilliant idea.
I'm just completely out on shopping in general. Yeah. There is not anything on this planet that I would rather do less, does that make sense grammatically, than go shopping, especially this time of year.
I don't even like shopping for myself.
I hate shopping for myself. Yeah. I hate spending money. I don't want to do it. My clothes are fine. I don't need anything. My shoes are 4 years old. They're fine. They still work.
Happy Monday. Boy, look at us coming in, hot and heavy.
Feeling old. Let's do it.
We are old. I mean, we are old. I'm going to be 38 in a month.
Jesus, man. You're almost 40.
Dude, it's ridiculous.
What happened here?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. It's nice to be back. I hope everybody enjoyed their weekend. It's rainy and it's wet and it's cold. And now our heaters are on. And I'm in blankets watching football. It's a nice little time of year. Did you notice the television networks, by the way? I noticed this last night. TBS, TNTs, they're all playing Christmas movies.
Already?
Like a ton of them.
That's an early start.
Like back to back to back to back to back.
Wow.
I watched some Christmas movies yesterday.
I mean, I'm not against it. We, you know.
Dabble a little bit.
We'll dabble.
A little shame.
We're dabbling. We might get the tree before Thanksgiving this year.
My family's trying to go on the first, and I'm like,
no, that's too late.
Can we go earlier?
No, I might go Sunday before Thanksgiving.
I might, too.
Let's get that bitch
I might,
up.
Too, and I might just go and meet my family on the first. Like, oh, we're hanging out.
Let's double tree it. I'll get one for the other room. Come on.
Why not?
Two rooms. Let's do it.
We got a loaded show. There's a lot to get to. We start with a little bit of local news that I saw over the weekend. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on the van.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I was at the coast this weekend, Dirt, and the news that Brian Wheeler had passed away hit me.
Yeah, that one was tough, I think, for everybody in this city. Whether you knew him or didn't know him, just seeing that was, it was devastating for Blazer fans.
I would dare actually say to you, who didn't know him?
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows of him. You know? Yeah, I was just speaking of us, we've had the chance to meet him and have him on the show. And when you get to know him personally as well, he's a genuinely, genuinely good man.
Just got the biggest heart and just, you know, just thoroughly appreciated, enjoyed every opportunity that he had with the Trailblazers and all throughout sports.
I mean, think about that job, having to replace Sean Lee.
Yeah.
And, not easy to do.
You know, 21 years on the radio call. He gave us some memorable calls. We'll play a couple of them here in a second. But had him on the show a few times. That was really exciting. The first time we got him, I didn't really know, because we're not the home of the Blazers. So there's all these weird, like, in-market, you know, things. And so you never really know if it can happen.
And is there an embargo on a guy?
And you know, technically it's the Trailblazer Radio Network. And so, like, that's why we're able to play calls. And so we were able to have him the first time. And I thought that was really exciting. I emailed Brian Wheeler when I was 14 going on 15. I was at my aunt's house one night, and she had dial-up internet. That was fun. And I was bored, and I had nothing to do. And I grew up with Wheels. We're more the age of Wheeler than I would say we were even Sean Lee.
Well, I was really going to school at UPS when he started in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I remember he did a nighttime show and did some stuff. I think he was doing the pre and post game for Sonics and other stuff. And so I remember when he first got doing his radio show, and then the fact that Portland hired him. And yeah,
he did a lot of KJR stuff. When I interned at KJR, I'd call him all the time because he did hits on a couple of their shows.
Yeah,
because they were all really friendly. And so I'm at my aunt's house. I knew I wanted to do sports media. I just didn't know, like, what I was capable of, or what I really liked, or was I was passionate. Was it doing a radio show? Was it doing play-by-play? I just dabbled in all of it in my mind. And I emailed him legitimately asking where he went to school and what it took and how much he loves it and how, you know, interested in it I was. And I didn't expect any response back. And he responded the next day of, hey, this is, I think he went to Chicago, Iona, and or Illinois, or whatever it was. And then, like, he told me what he did and how he did it. And he just encouraged me. And I was, you know, 14 going on 15. He didn't know who I was at all. And he responded right away. And years later, I got to meet him doing this job, and then got to talk to him quite a bit at the end. I didn't talk to him the last calendar year, but I knew he wasn't doing as well.
Yeah.
But he was very gracious with his time. He was always a very, very nice guy to me. And I think to everybody that got to meet him in our industry, and even to fans that got to go tell him how much they appreciated him. So that was really sad local news to find out over the weekend, is that he had passed away at 62.
It's so fun when you hear stories like that, of things that come full circle, and people that are willing to give up some of their time to respond to a fan or somebody who has a question about our career. I always love little stories like that. I will never forget being my last year down in Eugene. I didn't have a car when I was at Oregon, and so anytime you wanted to come back to Portland, you were at the behest of whoever had the car and whatever time you were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never forget coming home on the weekend and thinking in my mind, Portland and Dallas are playing a game 4, and I really want to get back in time to be able to watch the game. But the people I was driving with weren't that big of sports fans, didn't really care, weren't paying attention. And so we ended up leaving later, and there was traffic. And I was stuck in this car on I-5 as Brandon Roy made the comeback in game 4 against Dallas. And I will never forget that moment and that call for the rest of my life. And it's one of the times that I was genuinely happy to have had traffic or issues, because it was such a memorable call from Wheels. My eyes don't deceive, so I have to believe. And I'm just, like, sitting in the backseat, probably choking up, because I've been wanting something good to happen for the Blazers my entire life, and they scarred me as a child. And it's just one of those little moments that I will never forget. We often talk in industries about, you know, we've done this a lot with Kalen DeBoer this year. Who wants to follow a legend? Deshaun's he's Rip City. He's Mr. Rip City. He's the damn mayor of the town.
Well, and he was still around the team for a while.
He was still around. He was still kind of in the shadows hovering, and he was there in an official capacity. Like, replacing that guy, the balls that it took, and then not only to do it, but to make it your own, the passion that he brought every night calling games. And we do a lot of stuff in Portland where we get high on our own supply and we pump up our own people way too much. This is one where it was legitimately valid that we might have had the best play-by-play guy in all of the NBA while he was here. He's one of the best to ever do it. He highlighted so many memorable Blazer moments, whether they be big wins or big losses or heartbreak or happiness. He will be dearly missed by Rip City.
He had an ability, I thought, to kind of capture the moment with how your emotions were.
Yeah.
And that's a very, very difficult thing to do. I don't have an ability, I think, to do that. And whether that was having a good moment, like the one you talk about with Roy against the Mavs, or a run-of-the-mill Indiana Pacers blow you out at home in December, and somebody hits a three, and he just kind of mutters. And, of course, he hits, shooting 31% on the year from three. Right. Timeout.
Slide in the season percentage.
Just kind of the petty, like,
7 of 9 tonight, but he's shooting 28% on the year. Okay.
He had that ability. Here was his call, Brandon Roy, in their comeback win against Dallas.
Roy has it now against Marion. An All-NBA defender. Brandon gets past him. Jumper in the lane. Bakes it in! Timeout, Dallas! My eyes don't deceive, so I have to believe.
He also, you remember the regular season TNT game with Brandon Roy against the Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
The insane ending to that one from near half court, and he heaves it. Here was his call on that one.
Blake now throws to Roy. Brandon, a three-pointer out front. Hit it! Yes, he did! Oh, yeah! Oh, Portland, an incredible scene. Why weren't you here tonight?
I think I was in my college apartment watching this, and I had the exact same, like, oh, yeah.
Well, he had two game winners in the last 3 seconds. Remember, he hit a game winner.
Right.
And then, yeah, he fouled. Roy ended up fouling Yao on the other side, who hit a tying shot and then made the free throw to go up one. And then he had to make the three to win it.
Here's Willer's call of the OKC walk-off win with Dame.
Westbrook now, as Aminu backs up, put it on the deck, runs into Chief, put the shot up, and missed it. Rebound Aminu. Leonard has it. No timeout. Dame into the front court. 10 seconds. Lillard now in front against George. 5 seconds. George backing up. Lillard doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win. A three-pointer for the game.
Yeah! God, it's so good. Gives you chills listening to it.
R.I.P. Brian Wheeler, a all-time Portland media legend. A great play-by-play man in the NBA and a hell of a guy.
Absolutely. R.I.P.
We have a lot more to get into. The NFL was delightful this weekend. College football gave us some upsets. We'll get to the Oregon win over Maryland. I don't know if I don't think I have Beavs on my show sheet. I don't.
Oh, you didn't have them on the show sheet?
We don't need to do that.
No, we're not doing that. We had a Beaver fan tweet us immediately, like, can you guys actually talk about the game this time? We're not going to do that.
I watched the post-game press conference.
Act like it didn't happen. It was 2 minutes. The post-game press conference.
I don't know if
minutes.
The coach knows what's happening, and that's like a whole other conversation. His answers, his post-game presser was 2 minutes.
It was legit. Yeah, I pulled it up and I was like, "Is this a glitch?" And I watched the entire thing, and I thought, "No, that was not. No,
he doesn't have an answer for anything.
Not a technical error. That was 2 minutes."
So we'll eventually get to that as well. A lot more to get into. Welcome back in.
Sorry for making people cry in the last segment. Wheels hits us, man. That was
he had a very, and there's been various writers in market, a really hard childhood.
Very hard.
To say the least.
He had a hard life, man. Guy went through a lot.
He did. He battled demons. But I genuinely am telling you, I talked on the phone with him over a year ago for an hour, and he could not have been a nicer person to me. And I think to anybody that got to meet him and get to know him, and for many, it's not a disrespect to Bill Shonley, he is more so the voice than Shonley. And that's just kind of where the age demographics will...
For our gap.
Yeah, see, I grew up on Sean.
Exactly.
So I was in, 10 years old.
And
Wheels
took over in 98, right? Yeah. Was his first year. Yeah, I was 9 years old.
And so it's not easy to replace somebody. Our guy Demers is replacing him, and that's not an easy thing. And Travis,
well, he was always so encouraging. Both Travis and I, when we were doing a ton of high school football, basketball here, he was always so encouraging and went out of his way when we were covering Blazers and stuff to say, no, you guys are on the right track. You're doing a good job.
I can tell you confidently that he wanted to keep doing that job. It didn't work out for him. I promise you he was proud of Travis Demers for getting to that point in his career.
Yeah, he absolutely was.
And so, just hit. It hit this weekend. I was really sad to hear that. I wasn't, like, stunned. It still stings when it happens.
Way too young.
If that makes any sense.
Way too young.
The NFL this weekend.
Yeah.
How about Sunday Night Football?
How about Sunday Night Football?
I loved everybody. What an amazing game. Like, no, an amazing second half.
Houston was amazing in the first half, and then Detroit was amazing in the second half. When you throw a pick on the opening play of the second half, though, with a 23-7 lead, all of a sudden you go... Ah,
as Dan Lanning's halftime interview is airing, saying we need to take the ball away.
Yeah. As Dan Campbell saying, you said Dan Lanning.
Oh.
If Lanning is the head coach of the Lions, I got some issues here, okay? I'm a little worried right now. What are you trying to tell me?
Sorry.
Yeah, he said we need to force some turnovers, and boom, just on cue, there was your turnover.
According to Henry Buggy of ESPN Research, two quarterbacks have won games throwing 5 interceptions in the last 30 years. Matt Ryan in 2012 and Tony Romo in 2007. I would add Jared Goff to that list now.
Yeah, Goff. I would add Brett Favre.
I would have guessed Favre would have done that one time.
Five is a big number,
He probably had 20 games in his career where he threw 5 picks, man.
I'll go look at that. I'm curious now that you mentioned that. Goff had more interceptions last night than he did all of last year.
He had 5 interceptions in the game. He was... horrible. He had some bad luck, though.
Two of them, he was getting hit.
I mean, he had one right after Houston threw their second.
One was technically a fumble. It just never hit the ground, and they gave it an interception.
That's fair. All right. He was still terrible last night.
He was awful. He was not sharp.
But one of them was right after Stroud had just thrown another pick, and you're like, oh, here we go. More life for the Lions. And he threw it right back to him like 2 plays later. As a Lions bettor, I was screaming at my television, what are you doing?
I was screaming all night.
I wasn't surprised necessarily that Detroit came back and found a way to win. Detroit's one of the best teams in the NFL. To me, the story was more so on the losing side because for about 65, 70% of that game,
they were in control.
You thought to yourself, hey, there's the Texans we've been waiting to see. There's the Houston team that's flying around on defense, and Stroud looks sharp and he looks comfortable in the pocket, and it doesn't matter who the wide receivers are in or out. Mechie's having a big game. All right, this is the Texans team that looks like a team that can have a big impact on a playoff chase in the AFC. And then they get skunked in the second half. Stroud's throwing bad interceptions. They can't run the football when they need to. They ended up averaging 2 yards a carry on the game, I believe. And it just, that was an epic, epic collapse on their part.
I have a question, but very quickly, what do you make of CJ Stroud?
I make of him a young quarterback who's going through the struggles that every human young quarterback will go through.
Because we did last year, he had that rookie year that everybody highlights. And it was a good rookie year. It was surprising because we didn't.
Yeah,
people didn't talk about him quite to the level they talked about other quarterbacks, Bryce Young being one of those.
Yeah, he wasn't the number one overall pick.
I thought he was really good, and it's a good bar for a rookie quarterback to try to aim for. But like, also the way we talked about him was if he was Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, I argued that all offseason. It's why I wasn't super high on the Texans. Now, they're still probably going to win the division because the division is just an absolute dumpster.
One of the worst divisions
in
football.
You could be 2 games below 500 at this point and maybe win the AFC South. Yes. That's how bad it looks.
Yes.
But this idea, when you go back and look at some of his box scores as well last year, it wasn't like there was a lot of, like, he was good. For a rookie quarterback, he was exceptional.
Yes.
But it was like 21 touchdowns, 6 picks. He only had a handful of games over 300. Like, it wasn't like he was wowing you week in and week out, statistically speaking. Now, he did enough to win and put them in a position to be in the playoffs, and they ended up, he had that great performance in the wild card game against Cleveland, and they just shredded the Browns. But there was this rush for 2 guys in the offseason after 1 year to kind of put them into this immediate conversation. And the same thing happened with Jalen Hurts a couple of years ago. Jalen Hurts had that breakout year. The Eagles go to the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden there were conversations, is he better than Lamar? Is he a top 3 quarterback? Is he a top 5 quarterback? He had a great year with a lot of talent around him. You got to do it consistently in order to be on that level. And that was a takeaway from Stroud. So I wasn't one of the people that was rushing to crown him a top 3 or top 5 quarterback. So I'm not going to be critical on him now. He's in his second year in the league. He's having a okay year. It's not jumping off the page. He's not perfect, but he's not terrible. Like, he's going to grow and get better in the system, especially with the weapons when they eventually get back and are healthy around him. He's going to be fine. He looks like a second-year quarterback.
He's got a 63% completion percentage on
the lower than it was last year. Not by much, but lower than it was last year.
Also, how did the schedule makers, I thought of this last night when Detroit came back. Detroit's had a couple big comeback wins this year. How did the schedule makers, like, I'm sincerely asking this, how did they not give us Chiefs at Detroit for Thanksgiving? How was that not a priority one?
I feel like the Detroit game, now maybe I'm wrong on this, isn't it always a divisional opponent? Am I wrong on that?
Well, so here's the thing about that. You're probably right historically, so it's Bears at Lions, right? Divisional foe. Then it's Giants, Cowboys, divisional foe.
Oh, God.
Dolphins at Packers is the final game. Oh. So don't give me this. It has to be divisional.
No, I just was talking about the Detroit thing.
The Detroit and Dallas traditional Thanksgiving games.
I get it, but I'm just saying I don't care.
I mean, I'm not going to watch a second of that Giants-Cowboys game. What else is on Thanksgiving? I will not watch a second of that game.
Yeah, you will.
No, I won't. Yeah. I didn't watch a second of Giants and Panthers this weekend.
You're
didn't
lying.
Turn it on for 1 second. Hand to God, I did not turn that game. I was up, too. I was up at 6:15 on Sunday
yes.
morning.
It was on Thank the second
Did not
TV.
Turn it on. It, no. I.
He watched it.
Why?
It was on the second
he's
TV.
He's got a disease.
Why?
I was up early.
He did you gamble on the
thing.
Game?
No.
Then why? Why?
Because it was.
You're not a fan of the Panthers. You're not a fan of the Giants.
My dad was texting me.
You missed college. You had to work Saturday night. You missed college football. Why wouldn't you go back and watch games that you missed?
Yeah, I watched the Ducks question. Game on
okay.
the big TV.
All right.
And then when that was
Why'd
over.
You put the Beaver game on?
But you were watching. You told me you were watching soccer during this
That,
that
game started at 8:30. So Chelsea Arsenal started at 8:30.
You have a problem.
You got an issue.
And my dad has the same problem. He's texting me live updates. Oh, the Zebras. I'm like, you are
no.
disgusting.
If fantasy football, if you have guys on your team.
I did have Chuba Hubbard.
Right.
Thank goodness.
And there's
cares?
At least your one
no.
argument. That's
no,
your one
no,
argument.
No, no. Time out.
And
time
if
out.
You gambled on the game, that's it.
Did not gamble on the game.
Nope, 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 nope. I don't care if you have Chuba Hubbard on your fantasy team. Who cares?
Yeah, nobody
Go
cares.
Go see the box score. You see it in the update with your yeah. app. Like, that's not a reason to watch that football game.
No, I didn't go anywhere near that.
It's
Giants
ridiculous.
And Cowboys, they're getting boycotted from it's just bad. It's bad. It's irrelevant.
It's not good.
They're terrible. I don't need to watch. Like, we get to this point in the year where sometimes we try to convince, and I know the number always bears it out in terms of TV ratings.
Oh, I know.
Like, it's just it's a horrible product.
It's
horrible.
So awful.
And I don't need to spend 4 hours of my day watching that. Like in the middle of that day. So if that's the afternoon game on Thanksgiving, we're going to go to the in-laws in the early afternoon. So I'm sure the first game will be wrapping up.
It's the 1:30
Then
kick.
We got to go let Teddy Ballgame get a nap in. So that'll be kind of in that. I'm not watching this. We're going to be driving
Good
around. I'm not watching a second of that game.
You.
Cowboys are not going to be on my TV the rest of the year, and neither will the Giants.
You know what? I got a couple more. We'll get to college. I promise you there's a lot of college to get to today. Okay. You reminded me of something, Swigard.
Uh-oh.
One of the movies I watched this weekend on my coastal getaway with the wife, Brendan Fraser had a big comeback in acting this past, like, calendar year.
Yeah, The Whale was the movie?
We watched The Whale.
Yeah.
Was it good?
All I can say, well, yes, it is. Okay. It's not an easy movie to watch.
He's a heavy guy, right?
Trying to lose weight? He's a big old fat guy.
Yeah.
Like, let's just not PC this.
500 pounds or something?
Yeah. Like, he's a whale.
Is he trying to get into shape? What's the whole gist of the movie?
I'm not going
to
tell you.
Okay.
Go watch it.
I'm not going to watch it.
But I will tell you, there are two scenes that you just reminded me of. You are the whale here watching Panthers Giants. He has an uncontrollable eating problem.
Right.
He orders two pizzas, and he basically just binge eats them, guzzles it down with soda, eats Three Musketeers candy bars, and then eats like even more food in a scene. It's disturbing on many levels. That's you watching Panthers Giants. You are Brendan Fraser. You're wheelchairing around your apartment, and you have a problem. Somebody needs to step in and tell you. Certainly wasn't a character in that movie because they were feeding him meatball subs.
I have a competition problem.
You have a problem.
A competition problem.
There is no explanation, rhyme, or reason to have Panthers Giants in Germany on your television for more than even a second.
Kind of bummed I didn't gamble Panthers +6.5, though.
Sure.
Why are the Giants favored over anybody?
I don't know.
That was my take on the Jets.
Good for Bryce Young.
Again.
Back to back. Guys on a winning streak, dude. Break them up.
On the second TV. No audio.
No.
Everybody else in my house is asleep.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse for this.
Nope.
None at all.
Have porn on the second television.
Yeah, that's more enjoyable to watch.
I mean, watch one of those Japanese game shows where they make somebody's toilet explode and the guy blows off the toilet. Watch literally anything.
That's more entertaining. There wasn't some like Korean golf league tournament going on that you could have watched at 4 o'clock
anything.
In the morning from overseas.
Give me a replay of the Minnesota football game from the weekend.
Yeah.
Who did they play?
I don't know.
Right.
Would have watched it.
Give me that. Panthers, Giants in Germany. You have a problem. You're a whale. You're a football whale.
Big old frat guy.
I think he's a sports whale. I think it's
a
general
sports
whale.
Yes.
Like, you just step away, man.
He's got a
step
problem.
Away. Give it a little space. It's all right. You'll be okay.
The pizza delivery guy in that movie gets to know him through the door because he delivers, and then he waits for the guy to leave to get his food because he's ordering so much food as a fat guy. And there's a very uncomfortable scene where the pizza guy fake leaves to wait to see him, and he just is like mortified seeing him.
That big.
Whoa. That was you, and that would be me seeing you watch Panthers Giants. What's your problem? We'll have more to get into. Dirt and Sprague, 6:45 on The Fan. When shopping with your significant other, do you openly sigh when they go down an aisle twice? Dirt does this. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague, yes or no.
A lot of those. It'll get you out of shopping. Play the long game. Really?
Also could create a fight.
Yeah, could, you know.
The wrong side at the wrong time. Right. She can't find what she needs.
What is the matter with you? Nothing. Oh, I thought we already looked at this.
I kind of liked this town. Yeah. I wanted to circle back.
And then she'll give you the, which one do you like, this one or this one? And you can't just say, I don't care. I don't care.
You can't say I don't care.
You gotta
care. The one on the left.
The one on the left. Let's do that one.
Well, I like the one on the right, so we're going to go that one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Teams of Destiny, the Lions and Chiefs.
Feels like it right now.
Feels like it.
God.
I mean, the Chiefs just, they're the Terminator. They can't lose.
How did they do that?
It made it even worse as I would have hit a 9-team teaser parlay, and I had the Chiefs minus 2.5. So that was cool. They won by 2. That was...
Oh, you teased down, not
I teased
up.
Down. I teased down. Just thought, just be protective.
Was
I don't
that
know.
That'd be a 6-point tease.
It was a 6-point
tease. You could have got the Broncos at 14.5.
I could have, and that side would have won. Wow. Had 8 of 9 legs. I just needed Chiefs minus 2.5.
Just teased the wrong way.
Every other leg hit, so that was great. That never happens. I've been watching the NFL my entire life and thinking of a blocked field goal from PAT length. They can't lose, and so, you know, that's what we get to sign up for.
Our guy Alex Forsythe taking a beating on Denver Twitter, I guess.
Was he the guard or the center in that place?
He's their starting center right now.
Was he the long snapper, though?
I think he was. Yeah, people kept throwing him out there on Twitter, and people were having to defend him.
I imagine he was lined up as guard at that spot, because it looked like the left side of the offensive line collapsed.
It just kind of collapsed. Yeah, and they got right through that.
Not good. And they sat on it waiting for that field goal, too, to run out the clock.
That was brutal, man.
That's a tough, tough loss.
What was your biggest takeaway from the weekend in the NFL?
Oh, buddy.
We'll get to some college. We got a lot of college to get to today. So we'll get to the college at the top of the hour. Can I give you one?
Yeah.
My biggest takeaway is the Chargers and Steelers have to be ecstatic with how this is working out. Both of them win. The Steelers with a nice road win against a good Washington team, and the Chargers... Don't let that score deceive you. They were smashing the Tennessee Titans.
They should have had an earlier touchdown, too. Will Disley dropped one of the best throws I've seen from Justin Herbert.
A fadeaway 30-yard bomb.
Like, right in the hands, and he dropped it.
Well, and they also got, you know, stagnant in the red zone. They had settled for field goals. They could have won that by more.
Yeah.
They are not being talked about. It is Ravens, it's Bills, it's Chiefs. That's the AFC stuff. And the Steelers are just sitting here quietly 3-0, Russell Wilson, the offense actually doing something. And they have the defensive player of the year in T.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chargers, shocking dirt, Jim Harbaugh, who turns everything around instantly.
Has done it again.
Has surpassed their win total from a year ago as they sit in 6-3. And I'm not saying that they're going to beat the Bills, the Ravens, or the Chiefs. But man, the Chargers and Steelers just quietly continuing to win and nobody talking about them the way they talk about those other three teams. My takeaway is this is good news for them. They have to love this.
It's hard to disagree with either of those. For Pittsburgh, that I think is a win that will make more people, myself included, a bit of a believer. Like, you went on the road, you did it. Commanders are a good team this year.
Down 10 late.
Down 10. Hell, you even had a fumble at the goal line that you had to overcome as well, where you fumbled on, what, the 2-yard line going in.
I thought they were cooked after that.
It felt like it, and then you get the jump off sides where you didn't have to either go for it on fourth down, because we all know Tomlin would have punted in that situation. That's what he does in fourth and shorts. And you know, got to avoid a final drive from the Commanders. And the Chargers, you know, that you beat the Titans, I think that's part of it. Like, they're looking for one of those quote-unquote quality wins. A lot of their wins have come against the garbage of the NFL.
Sure.
But you got to beat the garbage of the NFL in order to make the playoffs. And one thing the Chargers would usually do the last handful of years is, even if they had a nice win mixed in there, you would lose a game and you'd look at it and yell at your TV and say, how are you how is this possible? It doesn't make sense. They're not doing that this year other than the Arizona game. But now Arizona looks a lot better in hindsight. And the aftermath of that win, I think they've won 3 or 4 in a row, something like that.
Their best win is probably the Broncos.
Which is
on the year.
You know,
But the Broncos are fine. Doing the same thing. If Broncos fans going to pipe in, they're only beating garbage.
No doubt about it. I think the Chargers have put themselves in a spot where they look like the kind of team that you don't want to play because they have an elite quarterback and they're playing better around him. And so there's just that thought of, in the playoffs, they could be a little bit better defensively.
Number one scoring defense in the NFL.
Number one scoring defense in the NFL. Like, yeah, there's something there. I'm going to go the other side, though. Biggest takeaway for me, just because you took those two, and I'm going to go to the negative side of it. I don't know how we weren't... People's hair is not on fire in Chicago. That was... embarrassing.
It's about as bad a performance.
Indefensible.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, for the majority of that game, had like 60 passing yards. Yeah. They had 140 total yards of offense. They averaged 2 yards per play. They were 1 of 14 on third down. I know a lot of this is on the offensive line. The majority of this is on their offensive line. He also appears to be getting worse as the season is going on. And when I look at the other rookie quarterbacks, now McCarthy's obviously out for the year and Penix isn't playing, but Jaden Daniels, like there was somebody who had a tweet this weekend, I think it was somebody, our buddy Shane in Chicago, that was like, dude, Jaden Daniels is beating the Pittsburgh Steelers right now and he's 7-2. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix at the time had a lead on Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City and he hasn't been perfect. He's had bad games, but
they're in the playoffs.
There's that like, all right, he's showing you glimpses of like, I could see there's something there. He's not perfect, but there's something there. How many games have we been able to say that about Caleb this year? And again, I'm not putting it all on him because their O-line is terrible and the coaching situation is awful. They played the New England Patriots at home and couldn't score a touchdown and had 140 yards of total offense.
I would actually add to that list because you're shorting him. Drake May has come in.
And Drake May, who won the game. Thank you.
Made the Patriots a better team offensively.
But you can't play him. It's too dangerous. How can we dare play him? Oh,
well, look at that. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. That's about as pathetic performance I've seen from an NFL team this year.
That was awful.
And I watched the Panthers play the Chargers in like week two. That was worse.
Yeah.
And I certainly have been a Caleb guy. I've made that loud and proud. I'm not defending Caleb Williams in any way. But if you want to watch how to ruin a franchise quarterback or a rookie quarterback,
how you do it?
Do what Chicago's doing.
Bad offensive line, bad coaching.
They're going to fire Eberflus. Waldron should not have a job today.
How do either of them have a job right now?
Because they chose to come back with it, which is a bigger conversation of organizationally, what are you doing?
They're being the Bears. That's what they're doing. This is why you haven't had a franchise
quarterback. Maybe
Caleb's
dad should have actually gotten in his ear and said, don't go to Chicago. Go anywhere else but Chicago.
Out of there.
I'm not going to pretend what Caleb would be with this team or that team. But this certainly, even with those weapons at receiver, this is certainly shaping up to be an utter failure and disaster of an organization.
Remember people in August picking the Bears to go to the Super Bowl?
Nick Wright. Every time you see Nick Wright tweet out something, I want you to remember he picked the Bears to go to the Super Bowl
in the NFC. In the same division as Detroit, you picked the Bears to go to the Super Bowl.
Have we swapped the Cardinals and Vikings now in terms of like...
Yeah.
That Darnold pumpkin.
That was ugly.
He's a pumpkin.
That's a loss. That was a win. That's a loss.
Oh, 4 field goals.
That was so ugly.
Yikes.
So bad.
3 picks.
Almost lost to Mac Jones, man. What are we doing?
Also, Kyle Shanahan doesn't know quarterbacks. He wanted Trey Lance and Mac Jones. How are those working out?
Yes, he did.
Yikes.
Brock Purdy fell in his lap, and look at that.
Loaded second hour. We'll dive into some college football. The Ducks beat Maryland. Oregon State, things are not going well. Some Heisman conversations, some upset cities. Loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.